Hey, everybody, Ron DeSantis is out of the presidential race, but here's my warning. We are barreling towards a defeat in November. We have not made the proper investments. There's a lot of money being wasted. It's time for us to wake up, to raise the money necessary so that we can win, so that we can win coming into November. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and become a member at charliekirk.com and click on the members tab and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Big news yesterday. Governor DeSantis is out of the race. He is done. He has dropped out. I'm pleased to see it. I'm pleased to see that he's out of the race. Governor DeSantis is America's greatest governor. He should go back to Florida. That's where he is right now and continue to govern. He's got a lot of time to catch up for. He did a full Grassley in Iowa. He worked hard. And I'll be very honest. He didn't run a good campaign. He's a great governor who ran a poor campaign. Now, I sent out a tweet to some effect yesterday, and it was received with a mixed response, but I'm going to defend it. I will. Of course, I'm thrilled to see that he endorsed Donald Trump. Donald Trump handled it very, very well, to his credit. He said he's very honored and, you know, all this infighting is over. Terrific. But I'm coming after this from a different perspective, and I'm thrilled to see it. I'm not going to attack Governor DeSantis personally or anything, but I think we need to make sure we learn a lesson and pull the fire alarm and stop acting like we're guaranteed to win coming into November. It's funny how things in the conservative movement change. 2 months ago, people said, oh, there's no way we're going to win. And now today, everyone thinks we're going to win. So it's my job to try to make sure we get to some sort of equilibrium. Because I could tell you right now, we are getting our tails kicked in Arizona, Wisconsin, and Georgia. While, yes, Donald Trump is the betting favorite on all the online prediction markets and the polls look good, there's way too much cockiness going on right now on the right. One of the reasons why we are at a significant disadvantage is that elections are completely different than how they used to be. And we're falling into the 2016 trap, into the 2022 trap. We must remember it's a game. Who can get the most pieces of paper successfully counted on the scoreboard, ballots in a box, in a 30-day period, ready, set, go? And Governor DeSantis ran for president all summer, all fall, and spent anywhere between $120 and $350 million. Now, $350 million sounds like too much. Some people are claiming that online. We don't know the final number. FEC reports will come out. Eventually, we will know. But comfortably, we could say it's between $150 and $160 million. In my tweet yesterday, some people said, oh, Charlie, why are you not being magnanimous? And I said, hold on a second. I have received angry emails for the last year because I overly compliment Ron DeSantis, because I say that he's a terrific governor and America's greatest governor. In fact, I think we all can learn things from Ron DeSantis as far as how to govern a state, how to maximize your conservative credentials to govern in a way that represents your voters. But we're talking about something completely different. Being governor of Florida and then deploying resources in a way that makes us more or less likely to win the White House come into November are two separate things. And we must be very honest that the Ron DeSantis candidacy post-July, I'm all for, you test the waters, you see if you're the guy. And if all of a sudden, if you start to see that things are not going the way, let's just even say post-August, after the first debate, the continuation of that campaign with the inevitable outcome that we did receive begs the question of, why didn't we deploy that money to ballot chase and voter registration, election integrity? And the objection I receive is, Well, Charlie, it's easy for you to say this now. No. Hold on a second. We were saying this all along. This is not some sort of new revelation where we're conveniently saying, well, Ron, you would have... No. We took a very firm and clear stand in July, in August, in September, in October, when we saw the writing on the wall. When I was in Colorado Springs and I sat down with a representative with the DeSantis Super PAC and they wanted to have lunch, very, very nice person. And she said, oh, you don't understand. This is a true story. Very sweet woman. Very, very sweet. I'm not going to say her name. But she was so lied to. And she said, Charlie, DeSantis is going to win Iowa. I've seen some amazing polling and we're about to deploy all this money and it's the best thing. I said, well, to be perfectly honest with you, I think this is a waste of money. We need ballot chasers in Georgia. We need full-time grassroots operatives in Arizona. We need help for lawsuits. And this was back in September, October. I'll get the exact date. I said Ron DeSantis should drop out immediately, and he could own that he is going to deploy his hundreds of millions of dollars in a super PAC in a way that's going to help us defeat the Democrats. He doesn't have to do it in an overly Trumpy way, and he could become a hero in the Republican Party. And I was told by her and some other people over and over again, against very nice, godly people, that the best investment that we could make is holding Donald Trump in check and balance. And I'll tell you know, yesterday, Ron DeSantis drops out. Let's play the tape here just so you could hear it for yourself. Let's play cut one, please.
Over the past many months, Casey and I have traveled across the country to deliver a message of hope that decline is a choice and that we can, in fact, succeed again as a nation. Nobody worked harder, and we left it all out on the field. Now, following our second place finish in Iowa, we've prayed and deliberated on the way forward. If there was anything I could do to produce a favorable outcome, more campaign stops, more interviews, I would do it. But I can't ask our supporters to volunteer their time and donate their resources if we don't have a clear path to victory. Accordingly, I am today suspending my campaign.
Now, I want to compliment Governor DeSantis. This next clip, he probably did not want to do, but he put the country over his own personal stuff. When I saw this, I said, I have a lot of respect for him. Now, it's a weak endorsement. It's half-hearted. I don't care. He did it. He sucked it up. And he probably had some advisors, including his wife, who I really like. She's very smart, saying, honey, if you don't do this, you're done forever. And he probably was like, I don't want to do it. So to his credit, he did it. And we must acknowledge it. He ended it. No speculation. He's not doing the Ted Cruz thing from 2016. Sucked it up. Did the right thing. Even though it was half-hearted and weak, could have been a lot better. Let's play cut two, please.
It's clear to me that a majority of Republican primary voters want to give Donald Trump another chance. They watch his presidency get stymied by relentless resistance, and they see Democrats using lawfare this day to attack him. Well, I've had disagreements with Donald Trump, such as on the coronavirus pandemic and his elevation of Anthony Fauci. Trump is superior to the current incumbent, Joe Biden. That is clear. I signed a pledge to support the Republican nominee, and I will honor that pledge. He has my endorsement because we can't go back to the old Republican guard of yesteryear, a repackaged form of warmed-over corporatism that Nikki Haley represents. The days of putting Americans last, of kowtowing to large corporations, of caving to woke ideology are over.
Okay, so look, I give that 5 out of 10. I'll be honest, that's part of the reason why I was a little spicy on Twitter yesterday. I didn't attack him. By the way, Ron DeSantis, you deserve credit. You sucked it up. You took the bitter pill. You didn't want to do it. You endorsed Trump. Now, I have to be honest, that's the first endorsement I've seen in recent memory where you attack the person you're endorsing. Haven't seen that in quite a while. I'm sure that Blake can go into the historical archives and say, when has there ever been a presidential endorsement where you simultaneously endorse the person? You attack them when you're endorsing and you say, I'm only doing it because I signed a piece of paper. Okay, you still did it. Fine. And all the headlines, to DeSantis' credit, were that DeSantis endorsed Trump. Could you imagine, someone says, I'm endorsing this person, but just so you know, they did some things really poorly. And I just want to make sure that, but to his credit, he said that he was superior to the incumbent, Joe Biden. So it's a mixed bag. Fine. But we have to be honest, everybody, and take a step back. Were there lessons learned? I'm afraid no. Yesterday on social media, people were gushing in. I get it. And by the way, Donald Trump Jr. was amazing. Donald Trump was great. They were magnanimous. They were terrific. They said, we accept the endorsement. By the way, of course we accept the endorsement. But I come after this from a different perspective. I come after this from infrastructure and machinery and that we are currently on pace to lose in November. Huh? Charlie, are you kidding me? That's right. I'm saying it out loud. We do not have the infrastructure. We don't have the ballot chasers, the cockiness. The champagne is already flowing. I'm getting all these text messages of people that say, oh, you know, I want to be in the PPO office. I said, what in the fresh heck are you talking about? We're going to get our clock cleaned. We do not have a grassroots infrastructure. Remember the 2022 red wave? How's Governor Carrie Lake working out for you? Yeah, that stings for me to say. So how about we stop the cockiness, get off our high horse, and get to work? Guess what? We're not doing it. Because we have controlled opposition, Ronna McRomney. We have RNC that is a disaster. And so let's just be, we're going to tell you the honest state of affairs here. Again, if I felt our morale was too low, I would build this up. If I felt our morale is too high, which it is, I got to get us back down to a place of get to work, and also a honest reflection of how Ron DeSantis wasted $150 million that we know of. Hey everyone, Charlie Kirk here. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they are the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this program, which is why I'm so proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious liberty, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. So keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use offer code Charlie. Join me and make the switch today. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Join me and make the switch today. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie and free activation using offer code Charlie. So how many ballot chasers did Ron DeSantis hire for us? So you get the same result. Again, it's not a coulda, woulda, shoulda, or that hindsight is 2020. We've been very, very morally clear on this. Very morally, not just morally, but strategically clear and tactically clear. From day one, we said, Ron DeSantis, you would be a MAGA hero. You'd have 2,500 full-time ballot chasers in Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia. You could call it the Ron DeSantis Project to Save America. By the way, all these donors that no longer want to talk to you would have given you tons of money. You could have had something that was more powerful than even the Trump campaign. It would be, you would almost, if you would be successful, you'd be the most popular person in the movement. You could write book after book, which you could receive money for. You could fly private around the country. You could be, you know, speak at events and Turning Point events. You could have a lot of fun while doing it. You could almost do the Gavin Newsom thing where you're treated as like kind of a pseudo celebrity and the president in waiting. And instead, you decided to run. And I totally get teasing out the waters, but post-August when they had that first debate and you're down by 40 points and you still decide to go full throttle and spend hundreds, $150 million, I got to be honest, no lesson was learned. No lesson was learned. And now we are in a structural and a strategic deficit that I hope we can get out of. I hope that we can get out of. To even be more specific, and by the way, a reporter that Andrew and I both know, left-wing reporter, but she's very smart. She texted us both. She texted Andrew and meant it for me too. And she said, you guys were totally right. You said you were totally right. Our recollection of events, which is totally true, is as soon as Ron, can you get the Ron DeSantis, Alvin Bragg thing? And I only do this as a way to go back in history. I think it's really important. I'm not doing this as a way to attack DeSantis. I like DeSantis a lot. He's a terrific governor. It's not personal. We just want to win. And I'm going to stay like a dog with a bone on this for a little while because people are saying, oh my goodness, you know, this is great. There shouldn't have been a primary once it's a 40-point poll margin in July, guys. It was unmovable. It was immovable. And I was texting with a congressman. I'm not going to say who. He comes on our show every so often. Great guy. And he texted me. He said, Charlie, whacking DeSantis is unnecessary. I said, great guy. Ran an awful campaign. And he said, quote, holding Donald Trump in check was worth the $150 million. I mean, I think that's insane. First of all, DeSantis didn't hold anybody in check. Okay? That's a ridiculous argument. If the argument is that we now need to spend $150 million on primary disputes, of which Donald Trump largely didn't even participate in, instead of general election infrastructure. And so this reporter texted us, and they said, quote, this is what Steve Kornacki said, and our own reading of the grassroots is parallel. DeSantis was competitive until the end of March 2023, which is also when the news broke of the indictment from the Manhattan DA. And it was twofold. People's sympathy and people's support of Donald Trump increased when they saw that he was under attack by the lawfare regime. And in addition, it was DeSantis's ridiculous comment on it when he said, "I don't know what goes into porn star hush money payments," insinuating that Trump actually paid Stormy Daniels. He was cute by half. The base saw it and they said, done. And from that point forward, the polling delta increased. And Andrew and I remember Andrew is such a good person. Andrew called up the DeSantis team and he said, "Guys, what are you doing? You're about to lose support. Guys, what are you doing?" He said, "You have to clean this up." And they were honestly very dismissive. They were very dismissive of Andrew. And Andrew was calling producer Andrew out of the goodness of his heart, trying to say, "Guys, if you want to have any sort of hope to be the Republican nominee, if you want to have a good campaign," and he was doing this out of the goodness of his heart and out of really, honestly, respect for Governor DeSantis. And that was the first time a president was ever indicted. It was a tearing of the veil. It was a crossing of the Rubicon. And DeSantis was so dismissive and honestly kind of smug about the whole thing. And Andrew was like, "Guys, you don't understand. This is awful. Do not answer it this way." And his team was like, "We know what we're doing and you don't." And one thing I will say about Vivek Ramaswamy, which is why I'm such a Vivek Ramaswamy fan and admirer, is that Vivek Ramaswamy received coaching throughout the campaign. It was such a tough thing for him to ever become nominee. But the way that we judge Vivek's success or not success is a different grading curve than DeSantis. It was a huge success for moving the Overton window. I would call Vivek and I'd say, "You're wrong on this, you're wrong on this." And it would be a 20-minute conversation. And all of a sudden I see that he cleans it up. This was the beginning of the end of the Ron DeSantis presidential campaign. Please cut 21.
Situation with, and look, I don't know what goes into paying hush money to a porn star to secure silence over some type of alleged affair. I can't speak to that.
And everyone is, you know, laughing. What could have been? And I'm going to give you an honest assessment of what's happening in Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia. We currently are at a structural disadvantage that will result in us falling short in November if we don't fix it. Christmas is here, everybody. And that means that you might have to be moving boxes or just it's tough, a lot of stress. And that means inflammation increases. And that means pain also might increase alongside of it. Relief Factor, though, is here to help. It's a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against pain. It's 100% drug-free, and Relief Factor was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for pain. Relief Factor uses a unique and proven formula of natural ingredients like turmeric and many others to help you get out of pain, to reduce or eliminate the everyday aches and pains you're experiencing. So whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, Relief Factor can help you feel better. Unlike pills that simply mask your pain for a short time, Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation, so you feel better all day, every day. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor Quick Start, and nearly 70% of people go on to order it again. Relief Factor isn't simply about feeling better. It's about living better, living the life you want, doing the activities you love. So see how Relief Factor can help you with their 3-week Quick Start, feel back, or your money back guarantee. So check it out right now, relieffactor.com, or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Slay that inflammation. Go to relieffactor.com. I want to riff on this a little bit more. People say, "Charlie, what do you mean by early state infrastructure?" So the entire presidential race will come down to Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia. We have been saying this repeatedly for those of you that are loyal and fervent and dedicated listeners and viewers of the Charlie Kirk Show. We know we have been clear on this because we ran the electoral math. The RNC is not clear on this. The RNC is a corrupt enterprise, which also I want to remind you, a week from today, we will be in Vegas. It's not open to the public. It's a invite-only event, but you'll be able to watch it on the Great Real America's Voice. You'll be able to watch it on our social media channels where we are hosting an alternative RNC meeting in Vegas. So the RNC, they'll host a kind of very clubby event to get some passive media coverage, and they do some resolutions that mean nothing, and they go home. They bring in the 168 members, the voting members of the RNC. They gavel in, gavel out. "Look how great we are. Great, terrific, okay, wonderful, go home." I'm sick of it. I find it repulsive. Ronna McRomney has declared war on Turning Point through many different ways, through proxies, through narrative war, through her insulting us. And that's not the only reason we're doing this, but it certainly has convicted us further but they are a bunch of losers. They lose professionally. They get rich while losing. They waste resources. And Ronna McRomney, who is a proven loser, is still in charge of the RNC. And we are barreling towards a defeat in November because of the RNC and the lack of their ability to raise capital, their lack of their ability to chase ballots, and we must win. So what we are doing at Turning Point Action is we are doing the forbidden thing. We are doing the, you're not supposed to do this, we're hosting an alternative meeting called Restoring National Confidence. Can you put that up there? Again, it's invite only. This is going to be doing what the RNC should be doing. So number one, we are flying in, we're paying for their travel, of the top county chairs across the country representing 15 million voters. You know, Ronna has never done this. So we're flying in these people from across the country. There it is. So if you know some people say, Charlie, you're all talk, what do you actually do? This is what we're doing. We're hosting an actual RNC meeting in the hotel next to the RNC meeting that's occurring. And it's called Restoring National Confidence. Again, if I get murdered, you'll know why, because you're not supposed to do this. This is like top level stuff. This represents 15 million voters in key swing states, in key battleground states. And so, again, it's called Restoring National Confidence, sharing technology, data, grassroots training, resources, how to ballot chase, how to secure our elections. We have Mike Lindell coming. We have Steve Bannon coming. The great Tyler Boyer, who runs Turning Point Action, is going to be doing a seminar. I'm going to be giving about an hour speech, going through the details, going through the specifics. It's invite only. And these are the county chairs that are actually going to be doing the work. I know it might be hard for you to understand, but Ronna has never done a venue where she brought in the top county chairs and spoke to them because they hate her. And they should, because she's afraid of them. So why would she talk to them? They're not useful to them, to her. We also have several state party chairs that will be attending and several members of the 168. And by the way, we are more than willing to let bygones be bygones. We are willing to just wipe the slate clean. I'm not here to hold resentment or bitterness, but as long as Ronna McRomney is running the RNC, I will not lay off. I will not lay off. Period. I'm like a dog with a bone on this. It's not personal. We want to win. And we're all of a sudden going to wake up in September and the polls might be very tight. And the RNC will have like four full-time people because they can't raise money. You know, the RNC is in the worst financial position that they have been in 7 years. I'm going to make sure I'm specific on that. It's the worst position they've been in quite some time. The worst position. And they should be raking in dough, by the way. They should be raking in dough. They should be bringing in money. And President Trump has an opportunity that once he's the nominee to fire Ronna, I have no idea if that's going to happen. Because the RNC deep state runs deep all throughout the Trump campaign and all throughout the RNC. I certainly hope she gets fired, but no guarantees. And by the way, how can I, in good faith, as someone who wants to see the country saved, see Ronna McRomney, who has lost every single time? Every time. She lost the 2018 midterms. She loses the 2020 election. She lost the 2022 midterm election. And we're to say, hey, you know, the fourth time's a charm, I guess. You know, everyone at the RNC is getting paid. All these consultants are doing great. And I hope you get this thing figured out. What have you done to actually secure their election? So then let me tie this together with Ron DeSantis. And I want to give praise to Governor DeSantis's credit. When I sat down with him a year ago in Tallahassee, he called for Ronna to be removed. So he deserves credit for that. I'll never forget it. It was really a great thing. And I was really impressed by him doing that because he was on the side of the grassroots. The grassroots want Ronna gone. But you tie in the DeSantis $130 million and what the RNC is not doing, let me just give you a very quick overview of where that money could be spent. It's not being spent. We need to be flooding these counties with lawsuits. And we're not. To secure our elections, to restore signature verification. There's all this shadiness going on in Fulton County and Cobb County. That's number one. Number two, what are ballot chasers? Ballot chasers are full-time grassroots activists that target low propensity voters to try to increase our turnout in voting month. Not our high propensity voters, not you guys, our low propensity voters. And finally, we need to be registering new voters. The Democrats right now have thousands, no exaggeration, thousands of full-time people in the key swing states. We have basically nothing. We have nothing. The RNC certainly doesn't have anything. At Turning Point Action, we are about near our 100th staff member. By April 1st, we'll have hundreds of full-time ballot chasers. I'll be able to show you a picture of a parking lot full of full-time people that we've raised money on a relative shoestring budget versus the DeSantis pile of $130, $150 million. Will the RNC be able to fill up a parking lot of people with clipboard and tennis shoes and the data and the technology? No, they will not. And so what makes this program different, what makes the Charlie Kirk Show different, is I don't just complain. We're going to have hundreds of full-time people. We're doing Restoring National Conference. We're doing the People's Convention. So I hope all of you understand that when I have these forceful opinions, we literally put our money, we put our muscle, we put our hustle, we put our grit where our mouth is. We're not just a show where we complain and close our laptops and go home and watch football, Netflix, and Hulu. After the program is over, I have meeting after meeting after meeting to raise capital, to call donors, to try to just run the organizations that we have here. And I love it. But we must be very clear and honest. Has the lesson been learned? That's coming up a week from today, Restoring National Conference. We're going to try everything we possibly can. And also, Rana better watch out. And I told this to President Trump, and I'm going to say it again. I'll say it to the whole Trump team. If you do not have Rana removed by the convention, the 168 members of the RNC meet after the convention. And by then, we will hopefully have removed the state party chairs that support Rana, like the one in Texas and many others. Not the state party chair, but one of the RNC committee women. And we will force a vote in Milwaukee after Trump is the nominee, and we'll remove her that way, which will be a total black eye for the Trump campaign. And for, so I just hope you guys get rid of her before that, or else we're going to have to do it. The grassroots cannot stand what's happening at the RNC, period. And so if we have to force your hand to a vote at the RNC meeting in, you know, July in Milwaukee, great. And, you know, some people say, oh, Charlie, you know, why is this so personal with Rana? It's not. I actually think she's a nice person. I've always gotten along with her. She's pleasant. She was good to me. I rank losing the country above pleasantries. I rank the Republic above niceties. That's how I am. Again, it's not, you know, some people get really nasty with this stuff and they attack people's looks and all that. I hate it. I don't do any of that. I stay away from it with this. It is so clear to me. We've been a bunch of losers. And the country is center right. And let me be very clear. We have the country that is against affirmative action at record rates, country that's against DEI, against the grooming in schools, the country that wants the border secure. On almost every single issue except abortion, which is a minorly losing issue, but not as much as people think, we are a center-right country. We are a center-right country in our temperament when it comes to the Constitution, when it comes to Second Amendment, when it comes to free speech, when it comes to every major issue, we're a center-right country. And yet we keep on losing. Why? Because we're not playing the game. And the game is very clear. You must invest in the early states. As the RNC, you must do what only you can do, and you must outsource what you can't do to outside 501c4 and super PACs. And then you just got to play to win. You know, I'm watching the, this is a recurring thing. For those that listen carefully, you know this. I'm reading the Elon Musk book and I say, my goodness, where is our Elon Musk running the RNC? This is not about his transhumanism stuff, his politics. This guy is ruthless. Ruthless. If they get like a widget wrong at a Gigabyte factory, he fires them, sleeps on the floor, and he demands excellence. And I think to myself, you know, God bless Tesla and all that stuff. Great. The country via the RNC is much more important than making Tesla profitable. Why do we demand excellence on our sports teams and our publicly traded companies, and we allow mediocrity, corruption, graft, deception, and lying when it comes to the RNC? And we say, oh, you know, that person's really nice. We should give them a fourth chance. A local donut shop would not put up with this track record. Well, our customers keep on getting food poisoning, but she's a great person. Dark clouds are gathering as markets shudder. Stocks are sinking and currency stumbling. Fear and uncertainty reign. The Middle East, Ukraine, Taiwan, the debt, it is endless. Yet one asset historically stands firm. It is gold. In crisis after crisis, gold is there in the background. Its enduring value guards against loss, like a missile shield against incoming. If paper wealth burns, gold has shown the strength to persist. Noble Gold says to shield your savings against looming threats, war, recession, contagion, and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. Noble Gold says take control in the chaos. Brave warriors say that fortune favors decisive action. Noble warns to get a hold of gold now before the price could be out of reach. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every new IRA. Claim your free coin today as this new storm gathers, panic looms, and some of the places you were thinking of for your money, well, they don't look so clever anymore. We balance our asset mix to shield a future from disaster. Research opening a Noble Gold Investments IRA to claim your free bullion coin today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com, the only gold company I could personally speak of for their service. Colin does an amazing job at NobleGoldInvestments.com. So I want to play another piece of tape here. Trump was very magnanimous in his acceptance of the endorsement of Ron DeSantis. Play cut four.
Is there a possibility, since you say it's water under the bridge, he could be vice president or serve in your cabinet? He hasn't asked for any of those positions,
No, he hasn't.
But is there a possible of the joining of forces?
Well, it's probably unlikely, but, you know, I have to be honest, everything's a possibility, but I think it's highly unlikely. I have a lot of great people.
Question is going to be after tomorrow, hopefully, who's going to be vice president and deploy the resources necessary? Early money is most important money. For those of you guys that have listened to us, the investments have not been made. So we hopefully we'll be able to raise, you know, $300-400 million and hire a couple thousand people in these key states and build the infrastructure in just a matter of a couple months. Hopefully we'll be able to do that. Tomorrow is the primary in New Hampshire, and Nikki Haley thinks she has a chance. We're going to be streaming live on Real America's Voice and on Rumble, as well as other platforms as well. Let's play a piece of tape here. Play cut six, J.D. Vance on Nikki Haley.
Nikki does have baggage. She just hasn't faced the onslaught of years of media attacks, of super PAC attacks that Donald Trump has faced. And frankly, the fact that Trump is still standing and still leading in the polls against Joe Biden suggests he has real political resilience. I know a lot of people who are choosing Nikki Haley think she's the low baggage candidate. In reality, she's the candidate the Democrats haven't teed off on, but they will tee off on her if she's the nominee. She won't be, but if she is, she will face exactly what Donald Trump has faced for the past 6 years. And I don't think she'll survive it. I certainly don't think she'll win the presidency through it. That's why we need to elect a guy who's shown some resilience. That's why we need to nominate Donald Trump.
New Hampshire is going to be quite interesting. I don't want to get people's hopes up too much. It's looking good for Trump, the consolidation. Vivek, DeSantis, it's looking good. Nikki Haley represents neoliberalism that we have been fighting against all across the board. Open borders, invade the world, invite the world, across the board. The question in front of us currently is, are we going to bring this then to South Carolina and to other states? It's a big day tomorrow in New Hampshire. We're going to be covering it all throughout the day from the grassroots. New Hampshire is a really interesting state. New Hampshire has a live free or die attitude, has a lot of kind of a libertarian streak, has a lot of Boston kind of pour over. So we got to get out the vote. We got to focus on this. And the sooner we can consolidate, the sooner we can end the primary. If Trump crushes Haley again, can she actually justify continuing? That's the question. Especially going down to South Carolina, her home state, which it looks like she's going to get obliterated even more. Isn't that interesting that Nikki will have a much harder time even in South Carolina than in New Hampshire? But let me kind of tie this all together here, which one of the reasons why I've been as intense this hour as I have is there's a lot of chatter from the Davos crowd and to the polling that Trump is going to win and Trump is going to win. I try to always even out. I try to check and balance. If I feel as if the base is getting too excited about the inevitability of Trump's presidency, then I'm going to try to sober us to make sure we do the work. If I think that so many people are too, let's just say, pessimistic, then I'm going to try to build up and say that we can win. We need to work, work, work. And I'm not seeing it right now. I am not. You guys are working your tail off, but the RNC is completely MIA, which is why we're doing this summit coming up. And by the way, the overwhelming support, I'm just looking at hundreds of emails. This RNC meeting is a winner. You guys seem very, very happy about it. And I could say this, after this alternative RNC meeting, restoring national confidence, we're doing training and all this stuff, we're going to be in a better spot. And I guarantee you, we're going to be hearing from people, Charlie, I'm getting no help from Rana. Charlie, I'm getting no hope from RNC. And We're going to be introducing some mobile technology. We're going to be introducing a lot of different things. We're going to be doing a listening session, and we're going to keep the heat on. We're going to keep the pressure on. We're going to keep the heat on. So next week we are what otherwise would be a sleepy, corrupt, you know, hookers and blow convention of the RNC is going to be a working meeting. Next week was planned to be a rather sleepy, do-nothing loser time in Vegas. And thanks to Turning Point Action, we're going to have some real results and some real marching orders to improve our chances going into November. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.